This morning, what I'm going to talk about is a very familiar topic, but at the same time, it's very important. It's about forgiveness, right? A lot of the materials this morning that I'm going to share with every one of you here today is actually taken from a booklet written by Pastor Gary Ingrid, which is a pastor in Canada. So what we're going to discuss or what we're going to explore about is, you know, what do we understand about forgiveness? We know, even non-Christians know, everybody knows that, you know, for Christians, we are supposed to forgive, right? And in Bibles, like, we can bring up a lot of verses. Like, for instance, in Matthew chapter 6, it says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will also not forgive your sins. So even though we are a sinner, we also should forgive others. And then in the Bible, it also teaches us that, you know, we are to forgive over and over again. Right? As in Matthew chapter 18 as well, from verse 21 to 22, Peter asked Jesus, actually, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you not 7 times, but 77 times. And also God commanded us that we should confess our sins so that He, our loving God, will be able to forgive us, as is in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Right? It is also again written in Matthew chapter 5 that it said, Jesus says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go first and be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gifts. So, even the life of Jesus himself, when he was hanging there on the cross with the criminals about to being crucified, Jesus even said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So we can see how important it is, this subject of forgiveness, and that it's being preached over and over again in so many places in the Bible, right? And we also understand the need. Why is there a need for forgiveness? Definitely is because we understand the consequences of unforgiveness or the consequences of bitterness in our lives. Because unforgiveness is deadly. It has been a main cause of international crisis. You know, what has been happening in civil wars in the Middle East until nowadays is because of unforgiveness. Right? We also have a lot of stress-related disorder. Some doctors even say because of unforgiveness, you will have cardiovascular disease. Or even clinical depression, you would have lower immune system function and a higher divorce rate. So, brothers and sisters, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and thinking you will get better. So, this is very basic. Every one of us know that, you know, we should not harbor bitterness. We should not harbor unforgiveness because unforgiveness also break the barrier of our relationship with God. I remember when I was young. I like to see some of these Hong Kong kung fu movies, which has most of the time has a very interesting plot. You know, there's this feud between two kung fu masters, right? You know, these are the Hong Kong movies back in the 70s or early 80s. So what happens is, you know, one of the kung fu master, you know, what he would do is he actually kidnap the son of the enemy, and then he's gonna train him up in martial arts. And what they're gonna do is gonna make this son of the enemy to grow up and fight his biological dad instead. So it's very funny that, you know, sometimes man can harbor grudges and you know, can harbor hate for so long that man can even go to such length, you know, to get even. You know, like there's a very common American saying that, you know, don't get mad, get even. Right? That's what the world teaches us. But what the Bible talks about and teaches in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 to 32 is, it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgive you. So these are very common things, I'm sure, every one of us here know, and I don't need to go deep into what forgiveness is about. But what I want to explore this morning, or now it's afternoon already, is actually we understand what is forgiveness. We know what God actually commands us to do, that is to forgive, and also the importance of forgiveness. But very often it is not that easy. As because we are living in a fallen world, we face the ugly realities that we face every day, right? For instance, how do you forgive if in a situation that a mother accidentally killed her own child? Or in this very important case study, like what happened in 1994 in the African country of Rwanda, in 4 months, the people there, the poor people, the Hutu majority in Rwanda, have actually taken up swords and matches and committed genocide against the small Tutsi minority. And in these just 4 short months, more than 1 million people were killed. This is what happened in the African country of Rwanda back in 1994. And this is still fresh in a lot of people's mind. And what happens is, of course, a lot of people who killed were caught and were put into prison. But because of so many people were caught, and because of prison is overcrowded, and there's a lot of backlog cases in the court, in August 2003, actually 50,000 of all these murderers or these killers have actually released back into their community. And can you imagine all these people who have killed their neighbors came back to the same neighborhood, came back to the same family where they used to stay together and live among those people whom they have offended. So how do we, you know, think about how do we actually forgive in a situation like this? How can you live with somebody who has killed all your family? Right? So this is very important that we want to explore. There would also be cases like, how do you forgive a father who actually sexually abused his daughter? Some people who is asking for forgiveness also ask, God has forgiven me, why don't you forgive me? So these are very realistic, very important questions. It's not an ideal a situation which everybody knows. But this is the things that we face every day in our lives. Right? C.S. Lewis, the popular author, have said, forgiveness is a beautiful thing until you have something to forgive. Right? What does it mean? It is obviously very difficult for us to forgive those who are close to us because we expect more from them. And also some people also say, you know, you have to forgive God or you have to forgive yourself. Right? So, or even in forgiveness, do we have to wait for the other party to say sorry first before we release that forgiveness to them? So these are a lot of questions that we are going to explore and we are going to clarify today, right? So it is very practical, and I hope every one of us get something out of this today, right? So let us first define what is true forgiveness. In what situation that, you know, it actually requires forgiveness? Is it when you come to church and the pastor didn't shake your hand? Or is it when your friends go to a party without inviting you? Or you have a friend who owes you money and then one day he drives a brand new car in front of you? Right? Or in school, you have a school bully who took all your crayons. Right? Is it this kind of situation that requires forgiveness? Now, if you have a Bible, just turn with me to Luke chapter 17, from verse 3 to 4. This is the important verse that we are going to read and we're going to study today. So you can just open your Bible to Luke chapter 17 and keep it open, because we're going to refer this over and over again. So Luke chapter 17 verse 3 says, "Take heed to yourself." Right? If it's in the NIV version, it says, "So watch yourself," is a warning. "If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." So brothers and sisters, this is what Jesus has said has told his disciples on forgiveness, on and how we should conduct forgiveness, or how we should give forgiveness, and how we should ask for forgiveness. So let us meditate and go verse by verse and see what we can learn this morning. The first thing about forgiveness is, actually, like we said just now, it's not about petty things, right? Forgiveness is actually pardoning something that is unpardonable, or else it is not forgiveness, right? So therefore, the first thing that we need to understand is we need to deal with sin honestly, okay? So true forgiveness comes from dealing with our sins, or in this sense, actually, the offender's sin honestly. In verse 3, it says, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. So it is this sin that is offending. It's not that he did not smile at you, or he did not share his cake with you. Those are not important things. The important thing is if he sins against you, right, rebuke him. So it is very important for us to define the offense. What is actually the offense? What is it that make us offended? Right, there are many things, you know, that people around us, even in church, even in family, even in our workplace, there may be a lot of things that irritate us, that annoy us, right, and upset us. You know, maybe if you come to church, I say, "Ayo, I cannot stand the sister behind me singing all out of key." Right, so that is not the main thing, right? So many things can make us irritated, right? So somebody may also disagree with us or hurt our feeling. But that does not necessarily mean, you know, it requires the true forgiveness that we are talking about this morning, right? So, back to what I mentioned about all this irritation and all these annoying and upsetting things that we face daily. So, sometimes we have to realize and we have to examine ourselves if we are offended, right? Sometimes we feel offended, we should actually sit down and have a moment and think, why are we offended, right? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, love is patient, love is kind, you know, love is not provoked. Or in the NIV, it says, it is not easily angered, right? That is a character of love. So, but there are many times in our lives we feel offended. So we need to examine ourselves. Is it actually because of our own fault if we take offense? Is it because that we are jealous? Or if it's because that we have insecurity in us, that when people say certain things about us, we feel offended? Or is it because of pride? Again, there are certain amount of pride in ourselves that we don't like what other people does, right? So, or is it because that we are focusing so much on temporary values? Something that I cannot stand that brother who is not wearing a tie, for instance. So all these are temporary values. Is it because that we are putting too much emphasis on these kind of things? So we have to reflect on ourselves, actually, that, you know, whether is this something that is sinful, that requires true forgiveness. So true forgiveness actually operates in the realm of sin. What does it mean by sin? When there is a violation of God's standard of our behavior in relationship with others, that's what it means. If we violate God's standard in our relationship with others. So, let me give an example. Say, for instance, if you lie or you steal from your brother, that is definitely a violation of God's standard. So, that is definitely a sin. So in that way, definitely you have a right to ask for forgiveness. Okay? So forgiveness actually never minimize the reality of sin. We are not just brushing it aside. We are not ignoring the sin, right? Because forgiveness is not to say, okay, I excuse you for that, or say, okay, I don't mind what you did, right? It's about the, like I said just now, it's about the inexcusable. It's not about denying or ignoring sin or turning a blind eye or act as nothing has happened, right? Because if we trivialize sin, if we think that it's a small matter, this sin, we will never appreciate what true forgiveness is about. So that is a simple example of what actual sin or actual forgiveness is supposed to be, which is, you know, we have to identify that there is actually a sin involved. Then we are talking about through forgiveness, right? And it's also very common for us to hear people say, we just forgive and forget. Okay? So what does it actually mean? You know, forgive and forget, does it actually work? Even in the Bible, people can quote scriptures to say that, you know, God has forgotten our sins. He will not remember our sins. It's written in the Bible. So does it actually mean literally that God forgets our sin? It is not. Literally forgetting means I don't remember. If, for instance, God really doesn't remember all our sins, the Bible that you hold in your hand will be shrunk by perhaps 80% over. Because in the Bible itself, it records so many of the sins that the Israelites and the pagan worshippers and everyone that they did last time in the Old Testament. God actually recorded them. So it doesn't mean that it forgets everything. What God actually means that He will not hold you against what you did or what your sin against God is, but He will still remember what you did. Right? So forgetting sins doesn't mean that I don't remember what you did. If I can actually don't remember what your offenses is, that actually means that it's not important or it's not that severe kind of offense, right? So God does not remember our sins against us. He does not treat us on the basis of our sin. That is what God meant by not remembering our sins. So not remembering means we do not keep an account. We do not keep score. So the central issue here about when people say forgive and forget, the biblical thing is not that we forget, but what we do when we remember what this person did for us or what this offender did for us. Okay? So I hope everyone we can understand that. And then also, it's also commonly said preached in some self-help groups or whatever they say, that you should forgive God for what happened to your life. Right? So again, we have to test, is this actually biblical? How can we forgive God? Because God will never sin against us. Right? Do you think God can sin? I don't think so. Right? So this is actually incorrect, because forgiveness, like what I mentioned just now, forgiveness actually involves sin. So we are never in a position to forgive God. Right? We may put the blame, like what Job did, you know, like what Joseph did before. Right? We may blame God what happened to us, but that blame is actually misplaced. And people realize eventually what happened in our lives is not because of God. I mean, what is wrong that happened in our lives? We shouldn't blame God, because it's not sin against us, right? Because God has never and will never sin against us. Okay? So we know most of the time it's not forgiving God, because if we think we can forgive God, that means we put ourselves higher than God. Right? And we take the assumption that God can sin against us. So that is incorrect. And also, we also look at the next point I've mentioned just now, is a lot of people like to say we should forgive ourselves for our own sin, that we should not hold on to it. Right? Again, let's examine what does it mean. If we are the offender, right? If we made somebody angry, or we sinned against somebody, so we are the offender, right? So we are the one who is asking forgiveness, right? So if I have sinned and I am the offender, that means I am not the victim. So when you are not the victim, I have no moral right to ask forgiveness for myself, right? That is just a temporary release of the guilt and the blame. So it doesn't really work. So I may feel guilty, I may feel shameful, disappointed and angry at myself. But more often than not, when we say that we forgive ourselves, that is a small element of pride in that. Why do I say so? When you say that, okay, I forgive myself, it actually, you actually, in your subconscious, you are saying that you are better than the person next to you, because you are of a higher standard. Right? So it is actually, there's a small element of pride inside there. And also the second point is, such kind of forgiveness, if you are saying that you forgive yourself, is actually inward looking. It's not about the other person. You are trying to forgive yourself. So who is the beneficiary is your own. So you are actually looking for your own benefit, right? On what you feel, on what you have done. So again, it is not that biblical. We will discuss later what is actually true forgiveness. So that actually means that there is no such thing as forgiving God, and no such thing as forgiving ourselves, because only God can forgive, and we need to trust God for His forgiveness, right? So coming back to the first point I mentioned just now, when we want to identify what is true forgiveness, first is we have to identify what are the offenses, right? One, what are the sins? We have to identify what is the sin, right? So after identify the sin, the second step to do is we must confront it. We must confront it courageously and honestly, right? Remember I said forgiveness is not minimizing, is not ignoring, is not forgetting, is not trivializing, is not bearing sin. Forgiveness means we have to face it. We have to face the sin. Look at Luke chapter 17. Are you still reading the Bible? Luke chapter 17 verse 3, it says, if your brother sins, forget about it. Did it say? No, it didn't say that. It says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. What does it mean, rebuke him? That means we must hold that people or that person who offended us be accountable of their behavior. Right? But however, we must very carefully, prayerfully determine that the other person's attitude or that other person's behavior is truly sinful. Once we have determined that he is actually sinful, then we have to rebuke him. And the essence is when we are to speak to that person directly, the person who offended you, we are supposed to face them to rebuke him. We are not supposed to go to somebody else and talk about him. That is not rebuking. That's gossiping. Right? We should face that person directly. And also, the purpose of why we are facing him directly is not to criticize. It's not to express anger. No doubt if you're offended, you would be angry. You will be hurt. Right? But the purpose, the main purpose of facing the person who offends you, for facing the sin directly, is to bring about repentance, to bring about restoration, and to bring about reconciliation. Right? Recently, a friend has shared with me a rather sad story about a couple. Right, a couple where the wife actually found that the husband is unfaithful. Right, unfortunately, this wife did confront the husband, and the husband obviously apologized and said he will not do anything about it again. But what didn't follow through is the husband wasn't held accountable. This issue wasn't made known to other people. The wife didn't demand that, you know, the husband has to be accountable for everything that he does from then onwards. So we must understand, if we have trust being broken down, even in marriages, in friendship, in among a relationship with co-workers, you know, we must, the offender must be accountable of what he or she did, and then he has to try to rebuild that trust. Trust is not immediately gained back once you say sorry and have received forgiveness. It doesn't work that way, right? So we must understand that, you know, when we confront that person, we are not trying to hold a grudge against them. We are not trying to, you know, spill out our anger towards them, but it's towards repentance. You know, we hope the other person will repent, and we are also hoping to restore the relationship and work towards reconciliation, right? So this is what is actually written in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, from verse 17 to 18. It says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor. Can you read that? You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. What this means is, if you don't rebuke your neighbor, you are actually sharing the sin. For instance, if your neighbor is committing a sin, hitting the wife or hitting the children, or doing something which is wrong in the house, you are to stand up and rebuke them. You cannot tolerate those sin. Right? Also in verse 18, it also says that, but you shall not take vengeance or bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord, it says. So you see, brothers and sisters, we are not to be in silence when somebody offended us. Right? We are not to say, "Aiyah, never mind. I just let it go. I forgive him." If you don't face the offender, if you don't let the offender know what wrong he did or she did, most of the time she will never know. He will never know what kind of wrongs that he did. Right? And also when we rebuke them, it's actually out of love. We want to bring him back to the kingdom. We want to bring him back, restore him spiritually. Right? So we are not to be in silence or to put on a good face. Okay? So it is for the larger good of the other person and also the community. For instance, if somebody is sinning and if you don't rebuke him, he may continue sinning and it may affect the community. It may affect other people in the church, or it may affect other people in your workplace, or other people in your family, right? So, you see, forgiveness is not about ourselves. It's not about us getting all the benefit out of forgiveness. Forgiveness is also about the other person. It's also about the community that we are living in. This is also very evident, you know, in our Lord Jesus Christ who forgives us. Do you think the Lord, our God, need to forgive us? He forgives us for our sake, not for His own sake. Right? He doesn't need to forgive us. He forgives us because He loves us. It's because of our sake that He forgives us. So that is also one thing that we must keep in mind, and also that, you know, we must think and understand, you know, we must emulate Jesus Christ in giving out forgiveness. So first we must identify the offense, whether it is sinful. Second is we must face it. Then the third is confront the sin properly, right? After we face this is how we should face the person. We must do it properly, right? We must confront the sin properly, right? If you read in Matthew chapter 18, from verse 15 to 17, it reads, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector." That's meant to be cut off from the people. So you see, even our Lord Jesus Christ have actually given us steps on how we should properly confront sin. Right? First, you have to meet him privately. Right? So that is the first criteria when we confront the offenders, when we confront the sin. That is, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Not go and tell your mother, or go and tell your pastor, or go and tell your teacher. You got to tell him or her, the person who offended you. Tell him in private. Okay? And why do we do this? We have to speak the truth in love, like in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Right? Okay, so the first thing is we have to do it privately, not publicly. Then secondly, thing is we have to do it humbly, not arrogantly or self-righteously. We should not have a self-righteous or a condemning spirit, or a worse judgmental spirit. Right? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 to 5, it says, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eyes, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes." So we know, brothers and sisters, every one of us is a sinner. Every one of us has fallen from the glory of God. Right? So we should not be arrogant or self-righteous when we confront this brother or sisters who offended us, but we should do it very humbly. God also says He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Okay? So remember these steps. You have to do it privately, not publicly. You have to do it humbly. not arrogantly or self-righteously. And the third one is we have to do it spiritually, not carnally. What does it mean by spiritually? Right? That's mean with the right kind of spirit. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." You see, it is a warning. If you are carnally, what does it mean carnally? That's mean in the flesh, that you are judgmental, you yourself is in danger of falling in sin. Okay, so we have to have the right spirit. That is a restoration. Okay? So the first, the fourth one is, we have to do it reluctantly, not happily. It's not in the right spirit that, you know, we just jump there and say, yeah, you did this wrong to me, you did that wrong. That is not the right spirit. I know some people are very eager or very happy to just jump out and point out other people's faults. But that is not the way. We have to do it reluctantly, out of love. Right? That is the right spirit. We must examine our own self. And then, lastly, we have to do it restoratively. That's mean in the spirit of restoration, right? Not in the spirit of punishment, right? Not punitively. We have to do it because of restoring. That's mean I'm telling you this, that you know that day you did certain things wrong to me. I do it humbly. I do it with you privately, right? And I also do it in the right spirit. I'm not saying this to punish you. I'm saying this so that we can restore our relationship. Well, that is the right spirit. You know, that is the right spirit when we say we are to confront the sin, those people who sin against us, right? So that is talking about the person being offended. That means if we were offended or people wrong against us, that is how we should react. Right? That's part of it. Right? So how about the person who actually did the offending? How about if we offended other people, if we offended our brothers and sisters, if we did something wrong? So the very important thing, the very key thing is, again, we look at Luke chapter 17, verse 3. Towards the second part, it says, okay, let me read the whole verse. It says, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. We covered that, right? If the brother sins, you rebuke him. So what is very important is what that follows. And if he repents, forgive him. Can you see the flow? If he repents. So what does this mean? The offender needs to repent. It doesn't mean that the offender doesn't need to repent. It is written here very clearly. So if we ourselves are the offender, we have to respond to appropriate rebuke. For instance, if I did something wrong, and pastor came and told me, Brother Brian, you are not supposed to do this. I shouldn't be offended myself. I should take it graciously and examine myself. Is it right what pastor says to me? Is it me? And I must examine if it's something wrong that I did, I should repent. Right? And it is very clearly stated in the wise words of Solomon in Proverbs. If you look at Proverbs chapter 9, from verse 7 to 10, Solomon says, "He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. So do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So you can see, King Solomon says that if you rebuke a wise man, he will love you. What does it mean? Because you are correcting him. So if we ourselves are being rebuked, If for that example just now I mentioned, pastor came and told me that I shouldn't do certain things, I should come to realization, if pastor is correct, I should be thankful to him. I should love him more. And I should increase in my own wisdom. That somebody actually loves me and point out my own faults. It's also the same situation that we deal with God. Because God loves us, he will rebuke us of our sins. He will give us the conscience to know what we did is wrong. And we are to act in the correct way. We are not to act and say, no lah, that's not me lah, that's somebody else lah. We should not deflect away. When people rebuke us, that's why we have to respond graciously. Right? So, you see, brothers and sisters, genuine repentance is deeper than saying sorry. It's deeper than expression of regret. So, repentance, you and I know, is actually about a change of mind, a change of direction. It means to say that I will never do that again. However, a lot of times this can be difficult, of course. Repentance sometimes doesn't come in a day. It has to be worked on, right? But it doesn't mean that, for instance, if this person did a certain kind of sin, he repents, and then he did it again the next day. Sometimes when people repent, we have to give grace to them, right? It doesn't mean that that repentance itself, the first repentance, is not genuine, right? Because it doesn't instantly produce complete change. So let us look at the next verse in Luke chapter 17, verse 4. It says, if he sins against you 7 times in a day, right? And in 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. That means if a brother or a sister offended you, but come and repent every time. Notice, every time he repents, every time we are to release forgiveness to them. So the key word is repentance. It doesn't mean that, you know, you say you repent really and then you do the same thing again, I won't forgive you. Because sometimes, you see, we live in a fallen world, we have bad habits, we have bad thoughts, you know, our own character that needs refining. Our own personal faults that needs to be pruned. Sometimes repentance doesn't bear fruit immediately. Sometimes it needs to be over, even perhaps a lifetime, right? That we have to grow our character to be like Christ. So, if a brothers and sisters did offended you, right? And indeed, he or she asks for forgiveness and he repents. Give that grace to them. If he did it again, also give that grace to them if they repent. It doesn't mean that their first time repentance is not genuine, right? So again, we have a model here. If he repents, forgive him. So if we can see the ideal process of forgiveness is, first, you have to confront the offender, the people who offended you, right? And secondly, if he sincerely declares his repentance, then you or we are supposed to declare our forgiveness for them, right? So that is the correct process. But sometimes it is not that simple. Sometimes, you know, when we confront the offender, very often that they may think that they are not sinning, or he may not admit he did is a sin. So in that case, even though we have confronted the person out of love, if he doesn't come to realization, we have done our part, right? Even though he's not repentant, although the word says, if he repents, forgives him, even though that person doesn't repent in front of you, we, at the same time, should also let go of the offense. We should not take the grudge. We should not hold it so tightly into our face that, you know, it consumes us, right? But the process is, the ideal process is, you confront the offender, you let the person repent and then you forgive him. That is the ideal process. But sometimes, you know, perhaps the person who offended you has already passed on. You never had a chance to say to ask for forgiveness. So what happens in that situation? Or you never have a chance to meet them again. Right? So in this kind of situation, we also have to release that forgiveness. So that means that forgiveness, our declaration of forgiveness is not conditional. It's not conditional on the thing that, you know, the other person should repent. Which the other person should actually repent. But he is answerable to God. Right? Remember? So there are two sides to it, you see. One side is the offender. The other side is the person that is being offended. Right? So you see, a lot of people also like to quote Romans 12, verse 19, when Jesus says, beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So it's actually clearly written here also, if somebody has offended you, do not take vengeance. Vengeance belongs to God. So what we do is, even though the other person doesn't repent, we on our behalf, it is our responsibility to let go, to release forgiveness and leave it up to God. And God will do what is necessary. And most of the time, I can tell you, God doesn't take vengeance. He will change that person's heart. He will change that person's mind. Those who have offended you, and he will make you, make the other person godly. That is what God does. He's a God that changes lives. Right? Okay? So, just to recap, in this context, Jesus does not tell us to declare our forgiveness to an unrepentant offender. Because sometimes, if this person doesn't repent and we declare in front of that person immediately, we may somehow unintentionally harden his conscience because he's not repentant. What I mean is, say for an instance, somebody offended me. I go and confront him, and then he's not repentant. Then I see in front of me, never mind, you don't repent, I also forgive you. Right? It doesn't work that way. We have to make that person realize how sinful or what sins that he's doing. And then, what I mentioned just now, even though releasing the forgiveness is within ourselves, that we should not hold a grudge. But if that person is not repentant, we should not declare in front of him to say that I forgive you. Right? Because sometimes if you go into, because you see there is a delicate balance. If you just very easily forgive and declare forgiveness, sometimes it is also because of our own selfishness. Because we feel hurt. We want to let go of this hurt. We just say, okay, I forgive it and I forget. That doesn't work because that is not proper healing. Or sometimes we drag on. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, even 1 year, I don't want to forgive the other person. I want to make him feel bad. Right? So that is also the other extreme. Right? It doesn't work that way. Of course, when we are being offended, we may feel hurt. The right thing to do is, you know, after this emotional stress, this hurt that we feel, and we are able to settle down a bit, then that is where we have to ask for God's grace to give us that grace to forgive the other person. Remember, we must confront the other person. We should not be doing it at our end. We must let the other person know that he or she has offended us. And then hopefully he or she will repent. Right? So you don't need to declare immediately repentance. I mean forgiveness to the other person. Right? So the point is also we should give forgiveness to those whether there is a repentance or not. That is also for our own sake. We do not need to wait for the offender to make the first move. Right? So I hope you get the right concept. There is a lot of application, there is a lot of situation that can make this thing very confusing. Right? So there are certain things that we need to do on our part, there are certain things that the offender needs to do on his or her part. Right? Which is, they need to come to repentance. Because without repentance, there is no genuine forgiveness. Right? Okay? So, then the third point is, forgiveness is to be given graciously and generously. Right? Forgiveness is not earned. But it is given, right? Just like our Father in heaven. It is given to us generously and graciously. That is also the way that we should give forgiveness to others. And bear in mind, only the offended party can give forgiveness. For instance, if you hurt your classmate, or you say something bad about your classmate in school, you should say sorry to him or her. You should not say sorry to the teacher. Because in this case, the teacher is not offended, but your classmate is. So only the person that you have offended, your classmate in school, he or she has the right to forgive you. So we have to be careful not to take a shortcut, you know, in the desire just to remove the pain, you know, okay, they come to us and then we just say, I forgive you. What true forgiveness is actually, we have to release the desire in our own hearts, right? The desire or even we feel like the right to get even, right? Because to forgive is actually to say that you are free. Your debt is paid. I have paid for the debt, not you. It's exactly the same like what Jesus Christ did for us. He forgiven us and he has given us, he has paid for us the debt, right? So, recapping, forgiveness doesn't mean we forget to remember, right? But it is always remembering to forget. It means to say that we have to remember to not hold the sins of this person who offended us. We will not dig up all the grandmother story, to dig up all the historical things that they did and hold it against them. And it is, we have to keep this in mind. You see, because I will share later, you see, forgiveness is not pretending that things are other than they are. Forgiveness, you know, when you say forgive, I forgive you, it is actually we are making a commitment. Right? We are making a commitment to say, brother, sister, I love you, I forgive you, I will not bring this up again. I will not discuss this with you again, and I will also not bring this up with other people also. Right? It doesn't work if you say, I forgive you, and then the next thing you go and gossip with other people as well on the same thing. This and so did this to me. It doesn't mean that way. That means you are still holding on to it. So it is actually a commitment. It is not easy at times. Right? So forgiveness is also not the same as reconciliation. Like I shared earlier, forgiveness is a declaration. That is the first step. You declare that you have forgiven that person. But the process, the reconciliation, the building of the trust is another different thing. Right? Like I shared earlier, you know, the situation in a broken marriage. If you have a husband who is unfaithful, he comes to you and say that he's sorry and repentant, right? You can forgive him then that. But that doesn't mean that you go back to the same relationship immediately, like nothing had happened. It doesn't work that way. That person who is unfaithful has to rebuild the trust. He has to be accountable. He has to build back that trust. He has to change his ways. He has to change his thinking. And he has to be genuinely showing this so that the other party can really see the change and can really accept him back. You see? So forgiveness is only declaration, is only the first step. Right? So forgiveness is both a choice that we make, and it is also a process, right? Forgiveness does not mean there is no consequences. This example also, right? The husband is unfaithful. It doesn't mean that once you forgive, there's no consequences. The hurt is still there. The damage is done. Right? So it's also the same, like if a father abuses a child, the hurt is done. The consequences is there. It's the same. Like in the Bible, we read about King David. Right? How he has sinned. Although God has forgiven him, but God didn't take away the consequences. Right? There are a lot of consequences of a King David's sin. We can read that in the Bible. So it doesn't mean that there is no consequences. So, I'm coming to the end right now. So how do we actually forgive? Right? Again, there are a few steps that we can line up is, first, the first step is how to forgive is we have to face it. Right, like I've shared earlier, we have to identify what has happened. Right, how serious is an offense? Is it really a offense that needs forgiveness? And how raw is the wound? How much are you hurting right now? Are you hurting because you are dwelling in it? Or are you hurting, it's really because of the pain that is being caused? And how close is the person to you? How important is he to you? And how significant is the relationship? All this we have to bring in mind, that we have to face it, how serious it is, you know. That is the first step towards forgiveness. Then the second thing is, you know, you have to feel it. Feel it means, again, like I said, it's not too hasty, neither is it too draggy. Sometimes because we just want to let go of the pain, we just very easily just say, okay, I forgive you, but actually we are still holding the grudge at the back of our mind. And sometimes we just want to punish the other people. We drag for a few years. We don't want to forgive the other person. So, two extremes. The proper forgiveness is, you know, when we come to the point that we say we want to let go, we want to give it to God, and we don't want to hold this grudge, right? So, again, how do we go about doing this? One very important thing is we have to see through God's eyes. How does God see this offender? Definitely he see this offender as someone God's love. So if you see that, you know, this person, although he has wronged me, but God still loves him. So we have to learn to see from God's point of view, right? And we also need to have that desire. That desire means to say that this person, although he or she has offended me, I want him to be something, someone who is useful to God, right? We need to have cultivate that kind of empathy, right? Although this person had wronged me, but I want him to be useful to God. Because that is what God wants also. Remember I said, God will come and change his heart and change his mind so that he may be useful to God. So that is the prayer that we need to ask when we are in the process of forgiving others. Right? First, we have to let go of our feeling. Then we have to pray for the other person. This is what Jesus meant when he said, you know, you should bless your enemy. You should forgive your enemy. Right? Okay? So, third is, we have to say it out by faith. Right? We have to declare it. And we have to trust God after that. Right? Forgiveness is ultimately an act of the will. It's not because of our emotion. It's definitely the will. Emotionally, definitely, we wouldn't want to forgive the other person because of the hurt that we are bearing. Right? But it is of a conscious will. It is a decision. Right? So, do not dwell on it. Do not dwell on the offense. We have to put it to the Lord and let God deal with them. We have to release them. We have to pray that, Father, let I release all my forgiveness and I let you, I give you all authority to deal with the person who offended us. So we have to say it out. We have to declare that the issue is dead and buried. Right? We do not rehearse it. We do not review it. We do not renew the issue. Right? Obviously, sometimes it's not easy. It takes months. Sometimes it takes years for us to really 100% forgive and forget. Right? So there is a process. But once we have declared it, we stick to it. Right? When the offense keep coming back to our mind, what we do is we bring it to the Lord. We don't bring it to the offender. We don't dig out old grandmother story. That's what I'm trying to say. Right? We have to declare it. And then, the last point is we have to refresh it. Means to say, we have to reaffirm what we have said, which is our forgiveness that we have declared. Because forgiveness may be a decision, but this is not a one-time decision. Every day, if we still feel that strife, if we still feel that hurt, we have to release forgiveness every day. It's the same, you know, like Pastor has taught us very well that, you know, every day, if we sin against God, we have to ask for forgiveness every day. Because God has forgiven our past sin. What about the sin you did this morning? We have to ask for forgiveness as well. So in the same way, we also, once we have said that we release forgiveness upon this brother or this sister, if you feel offended the next day, we bring it to the Lord and we release forgiveness again. So it is a refresher. It has to reaffirm day in, day out until you really feel that peace, until you really feel that this thing is not holding on to you again. So it is something that we are need to work on. And most of the time it is something that this is what Christian says is a suffering in forgiveness. It is sometimes indeed a suffering. And we have to understand why do we suffer in such situation. It's not because God doesn't love us. It's because He loves us so much that He wants to mold our character. And a lot of times we cannot do it on our own strength. Right? We have to depend on the Holy Spirit. So, in conclusion, my brothers and sisters, living in this world, we are bound to offend some people. And we are also bound to be offended by some people. But as Christians, we must know the proper response to the offender and also in the situation when we are the one who is actually doing the offending. Right? Forgiveness is not optional in the Bible. It is a command. It is an obligation for all Christians because it reflects God's character. And our forgiveness is actually also a response on our part to God's forgiveness on our sins. So you are not forgiven because you love. You love because you are forgiven. And the love of Jesus Christ is the evidence of forgiveness. So today we have somehow explored what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. So forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not pretending you are not hurt. Forgiveness is obviously not condoning what the person did to you. Forgiveness is not trusting the offender. And also forgiveness is not relieving the person of his responsibility. Right? So forgiveness must be based on scriptural, biblical command from God. So ultimately, like I said, a lot of times we need the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need the strength of the Holy Spirit to work within us, because in our nature, in our flesh, it's very difficult to forgive in certain situations. We definitely need the Holy Spirit to fill us with His love and depend on Him. That may His love flows through us. That is where we can extend the grace and forgiveness to others. Okay? I hope everyone is clear on this. Let us just pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this message this morning, that You call us to such high standard of command that even Your disciples ask, give us faith. Yes, Lord, give us faith to face this, Lord. That, Lord, when we face an offender, give us that humble heart, that grace to extend Your love to those who have offended us. And in the times and in the hours that we ourselves are the offender, Father, we ask for Your Holy Spirit to convict us. We ask that, Lord, we will respond in the right way. That, Lord, we will not be offended ourselves when people rebuke us, but we will indeed treasure it. That when the brothers and sisters come to us and let us know of our wrong, that we will accept it in the right way, and we will learn from it, and we will change our path. And let there be true repentance in our heart, if indeed we are the person who is in the wrong. Father, we also pray, Lord, that we may be able to use what we learn today in our daily lives, that, Lord, that we will exhort each one another, especially in the church, for You have called the church to be united in spirit, that, Lord, You have called the church, Your Father, to be example to the people in the world on how that we should always live in brotherly and sisterly love as Christ has died for us, and how has Christ given us the grace and the forgiveness. Let us also give the grace and forgiveness to those people who have hurt us. Father, help us understand. Help us always keep in mind of Your word and meditate on Luke chapter 17. Let us go back and meditate on this chapter, that, Lord, we may understand and we may know Your principles, Your guidance on what true forgiveness is about. Father, we thank You and we praise You, Lord, that, Lord, the most important thing is that the blood that You shed for us, that You have forgiven us, Lord, although we are sinners, although more often than not, at all times we are still sinning. If we are sinning, we ask for forgiveness, Lord, that, Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, we may change away from our ways, that we won't stop all sorts of sins, and we may consecrate ourselves to be of Your service, to be of Your saints in this world, that, Lord, we may spread Your love and Your light to the people around us. We thank You and bless Your name. In the most wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.